Tim is going to share with us. And he's our pastor of our Connect groups, our small groups. And listen, if you've never been in a small group, if you've never been a part of that, you want to talk to Pastor Tim afterwards or sometime. And one of the most changing things that's ever happened to me was being a part of small groups. And you'll want to be a part of those. We have a lot of different ages, a lot of different types. And so talk to Pastor Tim, and he can help you find the right group. He leads one group, so his group's really, really good. His wife leads a group, and it's better. And so you guys don't want to miss that. So Pastor Tim, come on up.
That's true. Connect groups are in my heart because I believe that on Sundays it's hard to minister because there's not very many places to do that at. But in small groups and connect groups, we encourage that gifting that God's placed inside of you to begin to come out and be released in there and begin to grow. So it's pretty cool in a family situation. I'm always the last pastor to finish the next one, what we're doing, and we're still doing Experiencing God, just another different look at it. I believe the more that you immerse yourself into the relationship with Him, however that looks, then the more that you're going to begin to experience it. And I believe that not only the more that you immerse yourself into Him and the more that you'll experience, but I think there'll be many more ways that you begin to understand that God speaks more than just with His voice. He speaks more than just with His presence. He speaks through a lot of different people and movies and et cetera, license plates and billboards. And I think there's so much more that God begins to speak through, but the more times that we immerse ourselves into His presence, the more times that I spend with Him, the more times that I can experience Him outside of that. Amen. And it's just kind of like a relationship that you have naturally. The more that you spend with family and the more that you spend with friends, then you begin to understand your friend or family better. You know, you could say, hey, you could be with your best friend and somebody else say something about them, and you would know whether your friend said that or not because you've spent enough time with them to understand that. And so our relationship on the earth almost kind of mirrors that with what's in heaven. But of course, with heaven, there's a purity there, right? He has a pure relationship with us. He has an unconditional love with us. And we really don't understand yet how to have an unconditional relationship with people, right? Because we've learned how to control people with our emotions. We've learned how to control people with our love. If you do something wrong, I can pull my love from you. If I can use my anger. I can use my voice. I can use whatever to manipulate you to do what I want you to do. And we've learned that on earth, but in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, that's not the way it exists. But we almost think that that's the way it is, right? We think that He treats us just like our friends or our family treat us, which is not true. Amen? But the more that you immerse yourself in the Father, however that looks, and I think there's so many ways that looks, the more that you immerse with Him, the more that you're going to experience Him and realize who He is. Amen? And I believe that the relationship, God wants such a relationship with His people that He will take you with whatever process that you're in on this journey. Isn't that crazy? I mean, so wherever you're at, if you just gave your life to the Lord today, the Lord will build a relationship with you and walk with that inside of you. And if you're 25 years old in the Lord and you're in that process, He desires such a relationship with His people. He doesn't care where you're at in the process. He just wants to have that relationship. Does that make sense? But sometimes we don't understand that as humans because we have a condition to our relationships, right? If you're in relationship with me, I have a condition to what it looks like, and you've got to meet that condition to stay in relationship with me. But that's not the way it is with the Father. But a lot of times I judge your relationship with God the way I judge my relationship with people because I don't understand it. Does that make sense to you? Okay. If you are a drug user, the Lord will have a relationship with you. He really will. I mean, I've been in a group before one time. This actually blew me away. It began to change my theology of who God was and how God used people. We had a lady who was she had an abscess tooth, and it was all swelled up, and it was all banged up, and they said, let's pray for her. And so about the time we prayed for her, one of the guys who was obviously on drugs jumped up, and he was going to be the first one to pray for her. And he laid hands on her, and he said this. And I tease all the time. You hear me say it. He says, Father, just clean her dirty, dirty heart. I went, oh, Lord. I'm like, oh, Jesus, somebody needs to pray in tongues. Somebody needs to do something. And immediately, the swelling went down before my eyes. I've never seen it before, ever before and ever again. The swelling went down, and she was healed immediately. And I went, God, you amaze me. See, I limit you. I limit you to my understanding. I limit you to my ability. And so I would have never thought that you would have allowed somebody in the process of growing in you to be able to do and see something like that. And so I began to realize that no matter what process or what journey, where you were in the journey, God would begin to use you all the time, right? I was in Mexico last year. I was sitting across the pool. I was drinking a beer on the side. I saw a guy across the other end of the pool. I'm by myself. And the Lord said to me, he said, you see the love that guy in his eyes he has for me. And I'm like, I'm not saying that. Not at the pool by myself. I'm not doing that, Lord. So Kay ends up coming down. My sister, my brother came down. And then sure enough, here comes this guy strolling across the pool. And I'm like, oh, no. Don't say that to him. Don't say that to him. Don't say nothing to him. And so I looked at him. I said, hey, listen. I said, you're across the pool. And the Lord said to me, can you not see the love that he has for Jesus inside of his eyes? When I said it, he began to weep uncontrollably. I thought he added a foot to the pool. I mean, he began to sobber so much that he just kept crying and crying and crying. I was like, well, I guess we got that one right. And that's what Pastor Harvey says, that if the presence of God comes, they'll cry. If they don't cry, then it's not really them. So you can measure it that way. But that wasn't the shocking part. The shocking part was this guy, other guy comes walking up behind him, and Tristan was his name. I still remember it to this day. He said, this is my boyfriend. And I was like, I wish I wouldn't have said that. And he said, the truth about it, this is my boyfriend for 6 years. He goes, and I love him so much. If Jesus told me to drop him, I would. I was like, I'm not saying nothing. I realize that I can't put my relationship and my process upon somebody else, that I've got to allow God and their relationship to walk out what he's doing in their relationship and allow that to walk out, which is very hard for me to do, amen? And he doesn't care if you've got anger in your life, he'll still have relationship with you. He doesn't care if you have jealousy in your life, he'll still have relationship with you. He don't care if you looked at porn last night, he'll still have relationship with you. He doesn't care if you don't unconditionally love or you control or you whatever. He doesn't even care whatever you have in your life that you're in the process of that nobody else knows about. He don't even care about that because he'll still have relationship with you. But isn't it crazy? But when I get to this place, I begin to look at other people's relationship and say, wow, how can you have a relationship? You don't believe what I believe. You don't understand what I understand, so you apparently can't have the same relationship that I am, so you're not connected, you're not touching Jesus, and I begin to watch that out, amen? But I'm going to tell you today that sometimes we make just a big mistake by judging other people's process of where they're at, because they also hear from the Lord, amen? I believe that we can have a relationship with the Lord and be in a process and him be okay. He's not messed up about it. He didn't wake up and he's not having a stress fit. He's not nervous about where you are, where I'm at, or where they're at. He knows exactly where we're at and he's okay with it. Because, see, there's people who love God with all their hearts who used to tell me, if you had a deck of cards inside of your house, you would go to hell. Now, can I tell you, they loved Jesus with all their heart. They gave their whole life for 70 and 80 years. They gave their life to Jesus and everything that was inside of them. But if you had a deck of cards inside of your house, you were going to hell. And Greg Kramer told me, he said, his mom wouldn't let any kind of dice game inside the house. I don't care if it was sorry or if it was craps. Either way, if you let dice inside of the house, somebody was going to take it. Why? Because that was the revelation in her process of what she was doing when she walked with God. And she loved Jesus with all of her heart. Some people think if you drink a beer, you're going to hell. But they, and those people love Jesus with everything that's inside of them. Some people believe if you wear a pair of pants. I have a friend who her nephews would, whenever she would wear pants, they'd go, "Britches, britches." They'd make fun of her because wearing pants meant that you didn't love Jesus. But can I tell you, the people who had that revelation loved Jesus with all of their heart. But they were in a process in this journey of going somewhere, and God was perfectly fine with them in that process to get to this place, but I wasn't. And sometimes we're not, amen? Can I tell you that? Can I tell you this? There's some people in this city who love God with all of their heart, but believe that women can't preach from the platform. But they love Jesus with everything inside of them, right? I'll tell you, we went to a men's conference one time, and man, it was a good men's conference. It was good. There was probably 800 guys there, I would guess, and they were worshiping God, and they just keep you busy, and they keep you busy, and they keep you busy, and I was so tired, I actually slipped in a Monster energy drink, and I was drinking it at break. I was like, "Oh God, give me some energy, give me some energy." So I drank it. Well, after I drank the Monster drink, I realized that the next teaching was going to be spiritual warfare. And so the guy gets up to speak on spiritual warfare. He goes, "Where's that guy who was drinking that Monster drink?" And I was like, "Oh my Lord, he's going to point me out, and he's going to say this is something spiritual, and I'm going to have to keep my mouth shut." And I'm like, "Oh please, oh please, oh please." And he's looking. He's like, "Where's that guy at? Where's that guy at?" And then this huge guy stands up behind me, and he has a big Monster. I'm like, "Yes, yes, yes." And so he went on to say that he was drinking the devil's urine. And he proved it with the sign of it and all this other stuff. And I'm like, "Oh, thank you, Lord. That wasn't me. Thank you." And the guy had, his arms was bigger than my head. I was like, "Oh, you're in trouble when he gets done with you." But it was at the end of that teaching, 800 men was on the platform weeping. I thought, how did we change that energy drink, this spiritual warfare? But he was in a revelation, he was in a process, and God used that revelation and that process to bring 800 guys to their knees. But I tell you, if it was me, I would have changed it. But sometimes it's crazy because I don't care if you're Baptist. I don't care if you're Methodist. I don't care if you're Catholic. They used to tell me that if you were Catholic, you were actually a cult, right? But then I began to talk to Catholic people who love Jesus with all their heart and give everything and worship. And I'm like, how is it possible that they told me that you were a cult, but yet you love Jesus with all your heart? And just the other day, someone said, "Hey, by the way, you know you're a cult." I'm like, "Who, us?" He goes, "Yeah, because you've been preaching angels in heaven and that you're seated in high places. You know that's a cult when you begin to do that." I'm like, wow. And Pentecostals and all of these denominations that love God with all their heart. But I accept that they believe something differently than I believe. And it's okay. But when it comes to people, I don't do it. See, when it comes to people, I want to push my process or the place that I'm at on them. Yours should look like mine. Yours should look exactly like my experience, the way that I walk, what it looks like in my... And your process should be right where, along with my process, but yet you weren't made like me. What you experienced wasn't like me, but I want to make people's look like theirs, right? And then we wonder why people don't really have to have a relationship with the Lord, because they don't need a relationship with the Lord, because we're going to tell them everything they need to do. You read your Bible every day, you pray every day, you do other... Then you're... It's not. Jesus died on the cross to give you a relationship with the Father. That's what he did. And if there was any other way to do that outside of relationship, that means that Jesus died for no reason. He died so you could have a personal relationship with the Lord. But so many times we don't think the way he thinks, and we don't understand the way he understands. Jesus said it this way. He said, "Love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love others as yourself." I'm hoping that today that we're going to broaden our perspective on how we not only experience God, but how we hear God. Because I think it's a necessity that every single Christian, every single person hears God. And you know you were actually designed to hear God. And so many times I hear people say, well, I really don't hear God. I've never heard God. I said, that's not true. You just haven't realized that you've heard God because you responded to His voice. The only way you could be saved is you have to respond to His voice. He has to initiate it. And as He initiates it, then we respond, right? So there's somewhere alongside of that we've figured out the voice of God and we begin to respond to His voice in that way, right? Because you couldn't be saved without hearing His voice because He brings that invitation to us, amen? I think we've just, over the years, put God in a box of humanity and we only experience Him or know Him the way we can understand. And I think He's bigger than that. I think He's so big. I think He's so big, and we've limited Him and people's relationship with Him to our own understanding or to a human understanding. I think that so many times that God speaks something so deep and so profound that He speaks into our mind. He speaks it in, and sometimes it takes days and weeks and months for that thing that He deposited in our spirit, man, that I don't even know what it was. I like go somewhere and I'm like, something happened. What happened? I'm like, I don't know what happened. Something was deposited in me. Something is stirring in me. Something is happening. And over this time of walking with God, I've begun to realize that He speaks to me in so many different ways. And sometimes He just deposits something inside of me that's not yet developed yet, but it's going to work its way out. It's going to begin to take time to get it out, amen? And so many times He speaks through a dream with me. Sometimes, actually, very, very seldom do I ever hear the voice, the Lord's voice. It always comes, for me, it comes with a thought, it comes with a dream, it comes with a vision, it comes with something. And outside of that, I can say, Lord, if that's you, speak it to me again. Speak it to me another time. Show me again. God, show me this is you, and God will come back and show me that again. Pastor Melissa says it this way all the time. She goes, Pastor Tim steals all my stuff. Well, this is what happens. She says something, and that's a seed, and it drops inside of me. A seed drops here. It really does. It drops here, and it drops there. That thing begins to grow. And it begins to happen, and what the problem is, it was the same seed that was given to her, and she gave it to me, and it began to develop in me, and then I preach it, and she's like, he stole that from me. And really, it's the same seed, and it's a seed that gets deposited, and that's why you can go places and go, oh man, I don't know where that's at, I don't know how that is, but I know it's true, because there's something beginning to grow inside of me, amen? So many times I've heard pastors and people even say, I'm in a season that God's not speaking, but I sense His presence. His presence is His voice. All those things is His voice. And so we've limited God by thinking that God was going to come with three angels and a donkey and three wise men, and then He's going to tell me this thing through a burning bush or whatever. Because He does it with somebody doesn't mean He does it with you that way. And you've got to hear how He's doing it with you. And as He does it with you, you just begin to develop that how He speaks to you in that certain way. And dare not be careful who you share it with, because if you share too much with somebody else, they'd be like, that's not Jesus. Well, you really don't know, right? It's their relationship that this begins to walk through all the time. And so many times that God speaks to him in his presence. In Luke 4, it says this, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, so he has to speak. He has to speak, because if he didn't speak, you wouldn't be alive. See, you sitting there listening to a great preacher with a great message. Thank you. There's a good friend. There's another good friend. Thank you. Yeah. And so you sitting there listening to me is just evidence that God speaks, because he spoke us into existence that many years ago, right? Romans 10 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So many times I heard people teach it this way, though. Over and over and over, I've heard people say faith comes from hearing the word of God. That's not true. That's not what it says. Slow down and see what it says. It says, faith comes by hearing, by hearing the word of God. That's what he's actually saying, and we bring it the other way around. It's not saying that I don't read the word of God. Actually, the word of God is actually clarifying. It clarifies what he says to me, right? It's me doing this. It's not me hearing here. It's me hearing here and using that to confirm what he's doing inside of my life. I mean, so somebody said it a great illustration this way. They said, Abraham heard from God, and he took his son up on the mountain, and he took a big sword, and he heard from God, and he was just fixing to plunge it into him, and on the way, God says, I changed my mind. Now, can I tell you that there was nobody happier than Isaac when he heard keep changing his mind? But that's the part we do. We've heard from God. But do we continue to hear from God? So just because I heard from God to sacrifice Isaac doesn't mean I'm supposed to sacrifice Isaac as I continue to hear from the Lord. Can I tell you, there's been many Isaacs sacrificed because people have heard from God, but they hadn't continued to hear from God. So our job, our relationship is not just to hear God once, but to continually to hear God, continually to walk with Him, right? So Jesus is with Mary, and they're at the wedding, and there's going to be some real wine, and there's going to be some real drunk people. And Mary says, hey, change this water into wine. Jesus says, I don't do anything without hearing from my Father. The Father says, no, it's not my time. He says, woman, it's not my time. A few minutes later, she goes, hey, just do everything he says and get ready because it's fixing to happen. Somehow, something happened that changed the heart of God, and God says now, 10 minutes later, hey, change the water into wine. And so he changes the water into wine because he's in this communication. So his no 5 minutes later became a yes. So a lot of times, I hear God say no, and I stick with no 25 years later. I'm still on no. Well, I heard God 25 years ago say no, so it's still no today because that's all I've heard. And sometimes it's me not continuing this relationship with the Father that continues on and on and on. I'm just running off a revelation or an understanding that somebody else told me versus me getting my own revelation and my own understanding of what he's saying today. Amen. So what's going to happen is we have to change that, right? We have to hear him currently, presently, true. I tell you, I got a piece of paper on my desk in the office and it said, the songs of this day are ungodly. And if I took that to the Pentecostal church, they'd say, yep, that's true. He said, it makes your feet tap, it makes your hips move, and it makes people look. Can I tell you, Nathan, he made me look today. That was written in the 1800s. They had a problem with the songs in the 1800s. They're really going to have the problems with the songs today. But you see, it's not a worship to anybody to look. It's a worship to him. It's designed for him. It's designed to give to him. It's designed upward and not outward. You shouldn't be caring if I lay down and roll across the floor 15,000 times because that's what I feel like the Lord's telling me to do for him. Right? But we don't do that. We don't have the capability of doing that. We have the capability of judging everybody else as they're doing whatever they're doing instead of just concentrating on this relationship that I'm having with him, right? Listen, it's his present tense voice that faith comes from. You can't teach it. You can't buy it. You can't borrow it. Somebody can't give it to you. No matter what, you cannot get it without his present tense voice speaking. But I'm telling you, we haven't did it that way. But if I understand, hey, wow, this thing called faith, Harvey used to drive me crazy. He'd say, Tim, you got to have some more faith. I went, say it again. Say it one more time. I'd see him do some miracle, and he's like, Tim, you got to have more faith. I went, say it one more time. Say it one more time, old man. Me and you're going to wrestle. And he'd just say it over and over. I'm like, how do I get some more of this? Do I buy it? Do I beg for it? Do I preach it? Do I speak it? Do I say it over and over and over till it becomes a part of my life? How do I get this thing you call faith? How do I get it inside of me? And so when we're talking about a relationship with the Lord, it's impossible without his present tense voice speaking to you without having faith inside of you. And when I begin to realize, like, I'm like, ooh, this big thing that Jesus died on the cross to restore this relationship is a bigger deal than what I thought it was. Amen? It comes through, experience him over and over and over and over. As I began to write this sermon a week or so ago, I got hooked up on I got carried away with Smith Wigglesworth and reading the revelation that he had. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, here's the crazy thing about Smith Wigglesworth. He raised 14, they confirmed that he raised 14 people from the dead. Now, that don't seem like that many. I know. I don't have any. I almost have one. I almost did it one time. Now, I've tried hundreds of times. I mean, one time with my father-in-law, he died, and I called the funeral home up, and I said, hey, listen, I'm gonna come up here and pray for my father-in-law. And they said, well, he's not ready. I was like, well, I'm going to come up here and pray for him anyway, I'll just make a deal with you. I said, if you continue to work on him, I said, and I was supposed to come up and pray for him, I'm not paying for him anything from this time on. They said, do what? I was like, never mind, I'll be up there when you told me to. So I go up there I think they thought I was doing like the last rites or something, whatever that is. So I go up there and they said, he's not ready. So I was like, well, there was another old lady in a casket in another room. I thought, I'll just go practice on her. So I go in there and her name was Isla, and she'll know me because I know she's in heaven. So I'm like, Isla, get out of that bed in Jesus' name. I just kept speaking to her. Well, the funeral home guy come out and goes, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I said, I was just practicing on her. And I thought if she got out, I know I was going to raise my father-in-law from the dead. And he's like, Tim, your church is so different. We don't have to deal with people like this. I'm like, I know, and it may never happen. But I've tried hundreds of times. If you die, I'm praying right off the bat. I'm telling you. Well, so Smith, he's only raised 14 people from the dead. And I thought that wasn't really a whole lot. You know, I've had a lot more attempts than that. But I started thinking about it. Wasn't Elijah only done one? And Elisha only did two? Well, Smith Wigglesworth did 14. So he's probably up there higher than in the book than I thought he should have been. So when I get up there, I'm going to have to repent. But here's what the wild part about Smith was. This was his revelation of the process that he was in with God. Right? You try that crap in this church today, what he did, and it's probably not going to work. So what he would do is he believed if you were sick, the devil lived inside of you, and he could punch you, and the devil would leave. So the first man came up, and he had cancer inside of his stomach, so he rears back, punches him as hard as he could, and the stomach doubles up, cancer's healed, confirms that the devil was in him, and he ran away. Now, can I tell you, he did that all the time. They said that when he would be praying for people, it was all the time you'd hear smack, smack, slap, slap, to the point that people, I'm not kidding, now, to the point that people, when they come up to get prayed for, they wouldn't even tell him where it hurt at because they didn't want to be punched there. So he's with his friend, and his friend said, hey, listen, I've got to go to see my uncle. He passed away, and I guess they used to have him in the homes. And he said, so I have to go by my uncle's house to see my uncle before we go do whatever we're going to do. So Smith says, well, I'll wait for you. So they go to the house, and as he's talking to his aunt, Smith just wiggles his way on into the parlor where the dead man was, pulls him out of the casket, starts banging him against the wall, and he comes alive. Don't try that. Don't try that. I mean, don't come up here and say, hey, listen, I've got a revelation that I'm supposed to go punch Chris Hoffman. I'd be like, good luck. Good luck with that. Isn't it crazy? We laugh at that, right? But wasn't that a crazy revelation? A crazy revelation that this man had with his walk with the Lord, that the devil lived inside of people and you punched him and he came out and the sickness would go away. But it worked. Amen? Hebrews 5 says this. It says, having your senses trained to discern good and evil. So your physical senses can be trained to discern good and evil. How is that? How do you do that? Well, you immerse yourself in the real thing. You immerse yourself in the real thing all the time. And when you immerse yourself in the real thing, see, that's what we're afraid of, right? Because we haven't taught people that really the key to this whole Christian thing is not me. Right? That's not my job. That's not the pastor's job. That's not what we're to do. We're to train you. We're to equip you to do the works of the ministry. We're to train you to go preach the gospel. We're to train you to go release. We're to train you. And so, but we've got people built into, you're going to have to come to this place to get, when the truth is, that's not true. You're supposed to go get yourself. You're supposed to do this on yourself. You're supposed to have a relationship on yourself. You're supposed to have this connection by yourself. And then we come in here on Sundays and we celebrate all these connections that's going on, and we celebrate who He is. But we've trained people up that says, listen, you really don't hear from God. I'll tell you when you hear from God, and you're supposed to act like I act, and you're supposed to wear the pants that I act, or don't wear the pants that I wear, or however it is. And if you do all that, Jesus will come, which isn't true, right? And so we immerse ourselves in this relationship with Him, whatever it looks like for you. Guess what? For some people who have 3 children, it may look different than a guy who doesn't have any children, right? It looks totally different. So you figured out how that thing immerses with Him, and that's what happens. Amen? So what happens is I immerse myself in Him. I study with Him. I have this relationship with Him. I immerse myself in this relationship with Him, however it looks. And so when I go to work, my boss may say something. I go, wow, that's a seed of the Lord. Or I may be driving down the road, and there may be a billboard. There may be a movie. I mean, so many people are like, oh my goodness, did you see that movie? It was Jesus. And I'm like, what? I thought it was Nemo. I thought it was like a little fish with one wing or something. How's that Jesus? How up and down? I missed all those shows, and they were Jesus. They said, oh yeah, it was all Jesus. And it was in and out. And I don't know how many movies they say of Disney. I'm like, how is this Jesus? It ain't in the Bible. It can't be Jesus. And that's what we say, right? Right? But I don't know how many times you guys look at a movie and go, that was Jesus. And I'm like, it was a fish. It was a mermaid. There's not even really mermaids. But but so many times, right? But Julie Whalen would really crack me up. Because I don't know. I have never seen as many license plates in my life that had a God message to it that she would send. She would say something, and then that afternoon she'd send a picture of it. I'm like, how did you find... Did you Google that or something? Did you Google that license plate? She goes, it's in front of me right now. I'm like, how? You just asked that question. And it was license plates, and it was things. So God speaks so many ways. And He speaks through your spirit, and He speaks through these natural things, and He speaks to all these places and things. And if He can speak all of that, who am I? Who am I to tell you that the Little Mermaid wasn't Jesus? I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I really don't. I made that up. But God chooses to have relationship with us wherever we're at in the process. And I think we all agree to that. Right? I mean, we can all pick that up. But what I want to really bring up to is, why is it okay for you to be in the process and not the next person to be in the process? Why is it okay for you to be connected and still have problems, but somebody else not be connected and still have problems? Why is my problems bigger than their problems? Why is my connection better than their connection? How can I look at their connection and my connection and begin? Who are we to begin to judge where the connection comes from or not? But yet that's what we do. We've been trained up to do that, amen? See, if God's responsible for revelation, right? So it says that the Bible, that the Holy Spirit is responsible to give me revelation. So if I'm connected with Him and I'm trying my best in this process, then I have to believe that He's in charge of the revelation that I get. So if Smith Wigglesworth was punching people in the belly, then that must have been what God wanted him to do, because it sure was working. And somebody in the Bible, a jackass, talked. I'm like, that would mess me up too. I'm just saying. I mean, but yet, isn't it crazy? We sit here and we agree with this conversation, but why can't it be true with people? Why is it that we have such a problem with understanding God and walking this out? Romans chapter 10 again. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God doesn't speak contrary to His Word. So here's what I believe that happens is we we want to preach safety because we don't want everybody to, I mean, we have to control something, right? What if I was to say, hey, listen, you guys were all, this side, you're all responsible to hear from the Lord and do what the Lord says. Now, you guys, you're supposed to hear, have a relationship with God and hear what He says, but I'm going to help guide you. I'm going to walk you through. And I do believe there's safety. I think that parents and things, God puts safety inside the church. I believe that. But sometimes I think that we can be too safe. We can guard too much. And we don't force it back to that relationship. Bill Johnson said a funny story. One time he said that this family was driving on a windy road down a hillside, and the little boy in the back yelled and said, hey, listen, around the next curve is a huge rock. So the dad slows down, and sure enough, and he rounds around the corner, there's a huge rock in the middle of the road. So he slows down, and he goes around it, and he looks in the back and says, Junior, is there anything else God said? He says, yeah, God said stop it when we get to the next town to go to McDonald's. That's kind of what we do. We hit it once, and then we just change God's will over to ours. We start. But listen, guess what? That's okay. That's okay for God. God doesn't mind. In this relationship, He doesn't mind because He's going to bring us back into that place. But can I tell you, the revelation that we walk with today isn't the revelation that we're going to walk with tomorrow. I hope that my revelation of who He is and what He's about changes tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. Because it said, these signs and wonders follow those who walk in the kingdom. Can I tell you, those signs and wonders are not following the church yet. So that means we're not quite there yet. We're not quite walking in that place. I think we're well on the way, and we're well on the process, and we've learned along the way, and we're continually to grow as a church, and we're continuing to grow in His revelation. But I'm telling you, we're going to keep moving to that direction. And when it does, it's going to change what your grandma taught you. Because it's got to be this connection between you and Him. You and Him, you and Him, you and Him. So if there's 150 people in here, guess what? 150 people are in connection with God. And I've got to allow that to happen safely. Amen? The Passion Translation, if you've never read it, it's brilliant. Let me read what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, faith, then, is birth in a heart that responds to God's anointing utterance of the Anointed One. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't listen to it. You can't go to a conference to get it. Somebody can't pray for you to have more of it. You can't speak it 15 times and make it work. It comes from the little utterance of the Anointed One. That's where it comes. So when I get that word from Him, I can walk it out. Amen? I just think that if I was to give directions for this week, I would say, stop all the bull and lean into Him. Lean into Him. Lean. I'll tell you what, something happens when you just put your cell up and you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm not waiting for the wind to blow. My cell is up. And I'm just saying, yes, Lord. Yeah, I'm saying yes before I even know which way the wind's going to blow. I'm going to say, yes, Lord, it doesn't matter. I may be thinking we're headed that way and You may blow me back this way. I just put up my cell and I say, yes, Lord. Something happens. He begins to look for hearts of people wherever you're at and what's going on in your life just by saying, yes, Lord. I say, yes, Lord, before I ever hear what You got to say to me. Whatever way the wind's going to blow or whatever You're going to do in my life, it's a yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord, just yes. And something begins to change inside of me as I begin to respond to the way He blows back and forth. Because I'm telling you, I don't know about yours. You may be a lot smarter than me, which I'm sure you are. Well, some of you I've looked at there. Not all of you because I'm looking. No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't there when He spoke the boundaries of the waters. I wasn't there when He put up the mountains that said you're going to stay here. I don't even understand how He did it. But yet I want to get in His business. I'm telling you, I don't have the capability of understanding God. But I do have the capability of leaning in, immersing myself into His presence, however that looks, and allowing Him to blow me and move me in the way He wants me to move. And allow others in the midst of that. That doesn't mean we just close your eyes. It doesn't mean that. But when I'm talking to you about, I think we can disagree about stuff and we don't have to fight or argue or call each other bad names because we disagreed about something. I could say to you, my current understanding, I don't understand it, but I don't believe it. But and I think it's okay us to walk that way back and forth. But we got Christians who's talking bad about Christians who are cussing out Christians who do. I'm like, what? What? When I can clearly look in the past, I can look at the churches in the past, and I can see that their revelation has changed, and it's grown, and it's moved. And it continues to move. And so just looking in the past, I go, wow, revelation is changing. And now I get to this point and go, but I have the right one. No, I don't. I don't. I'm growing with you. I'm growing and I'm moving and I'm swinging and I'm breathing in the Lord. And I just keep going and I keep trying and I keep moving and I keep trying and I keep immersing myself inside of His presence. So this week, Pastor Allen, you have anything? Pastor Melissa, you have anything? Good. So this week, I want you to close your eyes. I want to pray for you. Now, usually this is where I get in trouble at because I say, hey, put your hand on your neighbor. And everybody's like, no, no, don't put your hands on your neighbor. I'm like, put your hands on your head, your own head. Because I think our problem is our head. Somewhere, God made this unbelievable machine that sits on top of my head. But the problem is I use it against Him. He made it, and I use it against Him. So I want you to put your hand on your head. Say, dear Father, I don't know it all, but I'm submitting myself to You and the revelation that You're taking me to. Amen. Thank you guys so much. You're released. I'll see you next week.